KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Another day here in beautiful Hawaii. And I got, again, as we promised 2 weeks ago, retired United States Army Colonel Al Franzel and Mr. Jack DeFeo from the Waianae Coast side, but residents of Hawaii. So those of you that think you have to be here for a year to speak about Hawaiian issues, they qualify. They have standing.
Good morning, Carol.
Good morning.
Good morning, Carol.
All right. There's a lot of topics, and I noticed this morning there's an article in Star Advertiser, Honolulu Star Advertiser, by Marcus Oshira and Ito. And you would think at a level like that they would eventually get it. They are obviously, Colonel, and not military strategists.
And I think they just say whatever sounds good and satisfies their argument.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of untruths in their
mm-hmm.
story.
Mm-hmm. A lot of untruth and things that are not realistic.
Right.
Because, again, I argue, and the debate is, there really is no debate. The United States government, the Pentagon, or whomever it makes those decisions, I'm hoping that we have a more sophisticated, a more learned, more educated, more calculated deciders in this game than the concerns for Wahiwa's Wendy's hamburger shop staying open 24/7.
Right, and the girly bar around the corner.
Right, and then the Save Our Surf or Surf the Nation and things of that nature. You know, I'm just lost at it. But personally, I read into that article, and I think, well, one thing about it, freedom of the press and freedom of speech, and they took the liberty to speak. They didn't take the liberty to be accurate, in my opinion.
No, not at all.
So what are some of the inaccuracies or representations that you have concerns with in today's article or in general?
Well, I sped read it. I didn't read everything in it, and it turned my stomach so much at the beginning when they talked about, well, they don't want to get into the numbers, but they got right into the numbers, and they, I don't know where they grabbed them from, because they don't match the Army's numbers. They don't even match the Chamber of Commerce's numbers. Mm-hmm. So, one who, myself, who's been looking for the numbers to use for either in support or, or not in support of our position, those numbers aren't out there, so the only way you can come up with them is I suspect they invented them. So mm-hmm. they made for a good story, but it wasn't reality, because frankly there isn't that much spending by the Army on Oahu, and there isn't and there's very little spending, as I call it, mm-hmm. only pocket change in Waihewa.
Jack,
there's a term for making up numbers, and it's called fungible. Mm-hmm. You can make up any number you want, and the purpose behind it is, who's going to check them on it?
Right.
You know, that's what they use. Who's going to dare question their authority? Mm-hmm. And that's the problem we all face here in Hawaii. They can just make it up, and they can just walk away and not be held accountable.
Yeah, let's lay a little what I would consider a foundation for this conversation, the way it's going to go, I guess. We see the governor, Ige, the newly elected governor, appointed a lobbyist for Castle and Cook, Mr. Carlton Ching.
Not surprised.
For DLNR. Now, many ask, well, what do you think about Ige? What do you think about what's he going to do? And I say, let's look to see who he appoints. Because no man can manage all of this alone. And it's who he picked. And then we can then decide. On this one, I would say he reached the bottom of the barrel in the sense of decision-making. He's displayed some behavior that is alarming, because nobody in their right mind, or even if you're on an oxycodone, you would never, you would have to be one of the most insensitive, sneakiest people to advance this person's name, to even dare. I mean, in modern times, when we talk about all the issues of electric, solar, and energy, and converting, and then you put a lobbyist in whose whole idea is to build.
Makes you wonder, who is Governor Ige really representing?
So,
puts it into great doubt.
But it comes with great thinking, I believe, because if you put a gentleman who is in real estate or dealing with a lobbyist, and on his lobbyist form, so that...
And if I may add, and we're not supposed to even consider that there's a possible conflict of interest in his appointment.
Well, yeah, you're right. And by the rules that they play in this town, you're right. You're just supposed to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Sit on the church pew and shut up. But January 12th, 2015, at 1:59 p.m., the State Ethics Commission has on their website, we've lifted from their website, that Carlton Ching, K-L middle name, K period, L period, 680 Eva Leigh Road, organization he's lobbying for, his name of organization is Castle and Cook Homes Hawaii, Inc. Now, they want to do Hawaii.
What a history.
They want to do Hawaii, Waihewa, and then Koa Ridge, right?
Right.
So, I'm going further to say that this wasn't just a misstep on David Ige's part. This was a step on your tongue. It would serve only to complement, and I believe with this appointment suggests that they know the military is going to do exactly what it wants to do, and these lands are going to be available, and they're going to develop the hell out of them. And that's where I believe this laying of the bricks in the wall to build. I don't believe it just hinges on appointing Carlton.
They can smell the money.
Yeah, and I believe in reading, when you look at these arguments that they're advancing, in my opinion, they don't hold water. They're not logical. And again, I go back to this basic statement: if the Pentagon is going to let these dudes dictate our national strategy, security, then we shouldn't even bother go to war. We should just give it away right now, because we'd lose our butts.
Well, it's interesting insight that you're giving the governor that kind of credit that he's thinking that far ahead. I don't think so, but it's an very interesting.
Well, remember now, if we see singularly the governor, right, I don't believe no man is able to think in such a complex fashion. But there are others wanting what the governor has control over and has access to and can open the key, you know, at midnight, the fox has the hen house.
Right. Well, so, obviously, in the long term. But even in the short term, an appointment like this makes things so much easier for the developers because Ching can appoint all kinds of people to boards. And he can manipulate all kinds of decisions.
Right, because he has the land. He's serving as a DLNR chairman. He serves as the land board chairman.
Right.
And he serves as and has oversight over historical preservation. So my concern is to say to the community of Native Hawaiian, better watch this one. This isn't just a matter of you. And we'll speak to this. Hopefully you can share your thoughts about this. But I don't believe that any of this, if it were given back tomorrow morning, that the Native Hawaiian community will benefit as they anticipate. Because, take case in point, Kalailoa. It's a hellhole over there. The majority of the activities there now that should have gone back to the community and to the Native Hawaiian community, that portion that is there, we have construction companies, cement companies, solar companies, and destruction of cultural sites and karsts and all of that. So I think there's something being made here, and the two gentlemen, Ito and Marcus, this morning were being disingenuous and just serving up something that is not palatable.
Well, let me say two things about that, because I have a slight disagreement about your perspective on Kalailoa. But first of all, regardless of whether the Hawaiian community benefits directly, I mean, an in-kind transfer of the resources or facilities, is not really something that we should talk about now. It's something we should talk about if the downsizing occurs.
Why not?
Well, we should wait till the downsizing occurs because we don't want to complicate that decision.
Well, we're capable of thinking in complex sentences and making complex statements. I beg the difference to say that not to discuss well, now. That would be setting rules that really aren't rules.
Well, I hope it doesn't turn people off to the idea because some people will not embrace the Army cuts thinking that the wrong people will benefit. That's why I'd like to say, please, you know, support this regardless of who benefits because in the bottom line, everyone in Hawaii will benefit no matter what.
Well, right. Right. And again, I only speak from experience and knowledge.
Okay.
I submit to you that Kalailoa is a hellhole.
Oh, I agree.
And Pasha, for example, where there should have been revenues given to the native people.
Right.
That there instead it's given to, through Joby Mazagatani, the appointed retained chairman of the DHHL, is able to allow Pasha to sublease land for a cheap price and make millions on the legs and backs of Hawaiian people. So it has to be brought into the fold now, not later. Because
this is what I wanted. The second point was my issue on Barber's Point transfer. I hate to see that comparison be made with a potential transfer of Schofield and Wheeler, because on the Barber's Point thing, a couple things happened on that of what I know, and I haven't found anyone that knows the whole deal on what happened there. But nevertheless, the Navy transferred it, and the Navy had many years to know that it was going to lose that, so they put no investment in it. They basically ran that installation on the cheap. So when we wound up inheriting was very little, and then they, I don't think, are as good at transferring lands to the state as, let's say, the Army Corps of Engineers will be. And then the state is the most to blame because they thought they were going to do this on the cheap, do it, you know, overnight, and turn it over to the
beneficiaries.
To that organization, that's running Kaka'ako. I'm having a brain cramp now. But nevertheless, the organization that is doing the development management for HCDL.
HCDA.
HCDA, and then transferring it to the Hunt Corporation and turning their back on it. So I'm hoping with the Schofield and Wheeler transfer that we have a community and political based commission to manage it.
An oversight committee.
Well, it's just so happened that I know about this and know great details. So when the military decided it was giving it up, it serves as F1. It goes in the category F1. That means the city or the state has, or federal agencies
federal first.
Have first, right? Secondly, the state. And thirdly, the city. So, and again, but if you have Hunt and Venture Capital and the others that are out there managing Forest City and what have you, and Mike Gabbert, who goes and gets a free house or a cheap house renting in that area, the people's business is not put first. So it's not a matter of we're going to lose this if we speak it now. These things are already in motion. Let's take Y. Kelly Cave. It is supposed to revert back to a park. For 10 years, the city and county of Honolulu agreed and was processing it. Today, we should have a park there in an open area. But we didn't have that because Mufi Hanneman gave it to Venture Capital, which is Hunt. And gave they then give big donations and all. So the... I say the ugly part of this is already in place. So when we say we shouldn't speak of it, no, we should speak of all of it so that when we sit down at the table, we are there abreast of them, knowing exactly and we're informed. So when these things sit up like that and you say, well, why Kelly Caves? Why didn't it revert back to the people? Because there's a need to store cars. They lease it out to real estate companies who in turn lease it out to people that store explosives and all kinds of chemicals and whatever. So that's what I mean about in reality. The native people are a part of the equation, but such a fragment.
They're on the low end of the totem pole.
Well, but they should be. Up front.
Well, I advocate that they be part of the commission that manages the turnover of Schofield and Wheeler from cradle to grave. And it's not going to be a one-year process, a three-year process. It needs to be a 40-year process with commitment from everyone to do it right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a shame that we would squander these opportunities when you see these deals in solar. Or is it the best use? There are native people that want to open business on these facilities, but they can't get the permits or the leases because they're on a 30-day revocable permit. How unrealistic is that? So I only offer that not to engage in the conversation in whole, but to say these are the pitfalls, and unless the native community and people like yourself and me understand and incorporate that, we'll end up the same place because we got legislators and we got city councilmen and we got federal agencies who are willing to give away the candy shop.
Well, I see exactly what your point is. I'm confident we're going to learn from that mistake and we're going to manage a future transition more pono. But the problem that I run into a lot of people that advocate not doing the transfer and not doing the downsizing because they don't trust the state to manage it right.
I guess I'm predisposed. I personally believe downsizing is going to take place.
I hope you're right.
Because I see the big picture. The big picture is a component is the United States military concerns and strategists who have decided for the future approach to wars and strategies and theaters. You being military, I don't know all the terminology, but I don't want to second guess them because I wouldn't know where to start.
Well, my logic is that you're correct, but unfortunately this is going to surpass logic when it goes from the Army actually sitting down after these listening sessions and making a recommendation. They won't be able to make the decision on the downsizing. They'll turn the recommendation over to congressmen and senators, and that's where the logic's going to get all screwed up.
Right, and that's when Brian Schatz, the state senator, who's going to say, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't be so hard because my wife has a job with Forest City. So, and the Forest City stands to be a member or recipient of these benefits of the fallout. So let's, you know, when we are going to solve the people's problem, in my opinion, you have to put all pieces of the puzzle and not to say, well, let's play this piece of the puzzle tomorrow, because it's not a game of strategy when we're speaking the truth and trying to educate and arm ourselves with knowledge. It's a matter of getting out there and saying, let's call it what it is. Our legislators, and with Carlton Ching being named, and I hope you can add to this or say it's nonsense or just whatever you would like to label it, I believe the greatest fear is this rail, because it stands to lose a lot of money. If you take 19,000 troops out of here, they buy gases at the pump, and where's the GT or the taxes? And I think connecting that dot, and I may be just as crazy as a loon, but I believe that all of this is related. And that's why you hear this chorus of speaking against you for the logical thing. I mean, it's going to happen.
Well, again, I hope you're right. I don't know if I shared with you the last time my worst fear, and that is that in the political machinations that occur at the Congress, that let's just say hypothetically Tulsi and Mazie and Brian and Mark are somehow with no power in their pockets, but somehow convince their colleagues to maybe go for a compromise deal, and we only lose, let's say, 8,000 or 10,000 on Schofield. That would be horrible. Mm-hmm. Because not only would we have the downsizing in partial, but the Army would not be able to justify turning those bases into surplus assets.
Wouldn't it be sad to be watching the History Channel and learn some 30, 40, 50 years from now that the reason we got our ass kicked in the war was because Tulsi and Schatz and all felt that we should protect Wahiwa?
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Well, here's another perspective on the downsizing, that the Army already knows that it's not prepared to fight or defend a 21st century attack. They can't be deployed, and they're fully aware of that. So whatever deals they're making behind closed doors is not going to change that.
And what Jack meant was the Army on Oahu.
The Army on Oahu. Yes, absolutely.
I guess you have to be careful. I'm a civilian, and you're having a relationship. I spent 3 years in the Army, got an honorable discharge. But we have to be careful, because we don't want to suggest that we're anti-anything, but reality is this is about warfare. This is about the country beefing up its...
Yeah. For the audience, none of the three of us in here are anti-military or anti-defense. This downsizing Oahu proposed, and why I'm for it, is pro-military, because I want a military that can train, you know, that has facilities that can train. I want a military that can deploy quickly, and I want a military that's not stationed in the most expensive part of the United States. So moving these forces to somewhere else where those three conditions exist is in the benefit of the military.
Right. And the military industrialist, the one who's designing these new weapons and weaponry, they have a say also. And are we dancing to their music? Is our strategists and our national security forces and all of those in the Pentagon, are they being influenced by the industrialist who says, well, we have a new gun here that could, so you don't, you even mean, have, you can be in Mississippi and shoot
Carol, you mean the military industrial complex.
Right.
Basically.
And so, on one hand, I'm sitting here defending it. On the other hand, I gotta like wait. Let's go ahead.
It's a complex issue, but let me, if I may, on January 10th, the Star Advertiser had an article pertaining to the Army downsizing, and I printed it out. And what I would like to do is read a response to the Star Advertiser, which the Star Advertiser is on board with keeping the Army right where it is, with no downsizing. And an individual here locally responded by saying this.
What was the article again, that was declared in the Advertiser?
Army cuts seen as devastating. And underlining that, the potential downsizing in the aisles would hit the economy hard, officials say. And it was in the January 10th issue of the Star Advertiser. And a local gentleman responded in this manner. And it resonates with me, and I hope it does with the audience. And it is, stationing combat soldiers on Oahu does these soldiers and the nation a disservice. The Army does not have adequate facilities to conduct critically essential company-level combined arms live fire training in Hawaii. This training is key to maintaining combat readiness to keep our soldiers prepared and our nation safe. It is not right for community members to fight to keep Army personnel on Oahu. If it is unwilling to provide these personnel with the necessary training resources and facilities to be the most combat-ready force in the world, we owe this to these soldiers for their safety and their families' well-being. Stationing soldiers on Oahu for false economic reasons and selfish business interests is deplorable, and these greedy businesses and politicians supporting these business interests should be ashamed. These same persons who speak of Hawaii's heroes in such a self-serving manner showed no interest when the Army announced its downsizing mandate. Less than 30 people in all of Hawaii spoke up when they had the chance. Now only a few thousand speak up because their business-oriented bosses told them to do so. None of these so-called hero supporters have advocated or spoke to the essential training areas needed by these soldiers they now claim as their own. Talk is cheap in Hawaii when it comes to supporting the soldiers' needs. Now that some key business interests and politicians in their back pocket are worried about their wallet, the flag wavers have come out to support the old mighty dollar. Mm-hmm. Not the troops and their combat readiness requirements, just their dollars. Please downsize the personnel on Oahu so these soldiers can be relocated to other bases with modern, full-spectrum live fire ranges that are essential to keep our troops safe when deployed into harm's way. Mm-hmm. This hammers our point home. Exactly. We support the Army. Not only do we support the Army, but we support the military. And here's where the public gets confused. Whenever the military is promoted, they think of the Army. The Army is only one branch of our military. We have the Marines, the Navy, and the Air Force stationed here in Hawaii. And that's why the Army knows full well they are not ready for 21st century military encounters. They're well aware of that.
Or they're aware, but they just need some adjustments and moving and modifying there. Let's take this call in. Hopefully it's its own course, but we'll get back to your... Good morning, caller. Thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
This will not be a commercial, and this will be directly on the subject, and especially goes out to Doug Gaines, Central Intelligence Division in the Army. Not needed anymore. If you go to gamershell.com and you download Star Shatter, the free demo, and Space Interceptor, the free demo, you'll see how our high-energy weapons and electrogravitic physics will just take any other battlefield and take it into a turkey roast situation.
Curtis, we're just still trying to digest our tea cakes, man. That's a bit much. But
Area 51, they can't catch this one. They can't get me back.
Yeah, but anyway, call back, and I think we need about another 20 minutes to digest it.
I'd like to filibuster in there, but I'll listen. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks, Curtis. Bye.
Well, you know, I think his point was modern warfare has changed, and he's right.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
We can fly drones from Colorado Springs, and you know, and the Army will advocate that it needs its four-star headquarters here because, so many military commands are here. Well, there's modern communication now. You don't have to be a mile down the street in order to be effective. So, you know, the people that are advocating the military staying here will come up with the wildest excuses. But I go for modernization and the future and the fact that the dynamics of the world have changed. And,
extremely.
You know, 100 years ago it was strategic for military forces to be here because they needed coal plants to fire their coal-burning ships and stuff, so they needed a place to stop over to refuel. But those days are long over.
You know, I was reading the other day about on this topic, and I thought, here's what we can do for to show, to really expose them, to show how narrow-minded and feeble-minded, I should say, of this whole process. Have they presented any plan? I know it's one thing to just be committed to winning. Have they advanced anything or introduced any plans to say, if it fails, we're going to recruit companies that we have Schofield Barracks that will be left there and buildings that will accommodate manufacturers, housing. Have they advanced or presented anything such as that as a secondary to when it fails, when the military pulls out?
Oh, no, they don't want to address that, because then that addresses all the advantages, the billions of advantages.
But it shows how shallow they are and why we should not trust anything that they're advancing now, because if you're committed to, we're going to win.
Right.
And then the golden opportunity is that, okay, well, what if we fail? What's the fallback plan? Will we reach out to Silicon Valley? Will we reach out to smaller companies? Will we come up with tax incentive to these lands will be available and all of that? And these schools, we're going to reduce the population in some of our schools by moving.
Well,
that been advanced?
Carol, you just proposed the template for how we, living in Hawaii, should look at politics.
Yeah.
Same thing with, you could apply what you just said to how rail was ramrodded down our throats and our voice to say a better technology to meet the 21st century needs could be applied and we were shut down.
Yeah.
No discussion, no debate was presented where what will we do? What will we be faced with if rail is not the success that we were promised with? They never want to touch that.
And what you just suggested about looking to the opportunities is what I, started in July on this campaign for the advocacy of the downsizing is I wanted to address the congressmen and senators with this approach that embrace this opportunity and look at the positive attributions or the positive benefits. And oh, by the way, instead of fighting it, because I think you're going to lose anyways, negotiate for a 5-year, $5 billion transition period.
Mm-hmm.
So if they would be, and they still can do that, if they could fight for as part of their negotiation behind closed doors come this spring, after the Army turns over its recommended list, fight for, say, okay, Fort Lewis, you keep your soldiers because that's a good place for you to be. You've got you got world-class training ranges there. You got seaports and you got airports, and it's not expensive to be there. You keep them there. We're going to take the hit here in Hawaii, but we want a $5 billion package to help us with the transition period. And then that money can help with the state with the transition of the properties. It can help with the few businesses that might lose money, and they could apply for grants or actually maybe compensation.
Mm-hmm.
And we all win.
You've been a military man, forward lookers. I don't see any forward looking in this process because I've been trying to read, okay, well, where is a university at? And it has anyone gone to the university and taken a professor and says, let's lay out a model. Can you take this $70,000 and lay out something so that if we do see that it is decided that we'll reduce the number of troops here, we can present this proposal or don't be left empty-handed. We can approach our Congress and our senators and say, give us some money so that we can a startup. I don't see that. I don't hear that kind of logical thinking, and that's what's puzzling about this entire debate.
Well, that would be high expectations for them to think that far ahead.
Self-interest trumps logical thinking.
However, though, if let's say hypothetically in the fall that it is announced that Hawaii cuts this many forces, then we have to we got to mandate that our leaders do that and throw money at some studies on how we can best do the transition and best use the resources. We actually will have 4 years, at least 4 years, for the downsizing to be implemented. And so that does give our leaders time to manage the process. So it's not the end of the world because they're not doing it now.
Yeah, like HCDA, they'll have time But then the number of people that you pick and the type of people and the quality of people you pick, you can give 20 years and they'll still screw it up.
Absolutely. And
you know, and it's so fragmented because OHA is going to move in on behalf of the people. The beneficiaries, and then DHL going to go in and move in on behalf of the people.
Well, they're all on the sideline right now.
Well,
unfortunately, they will be.
But this is how the state uses these entities to rob the people of these resources and the right to use them. And then that's, I can tell you, my house one room is junky from just collecting all of this nonsense. And that is what the deployment and the strategy. Has there been a task force convened by the legislators, the Senate or the House, on this matter?
Romy Cacciola set up a task force. You know what was the task force due? To pass a resolution last week that support the Army's stay.
Romy Cacciola, the same guy who will take a dollar quicker than he would
And by the way, he missed the vote. He didn't even vote on his own recommended resolution.
Well, you know, I can understand that, you know, but Madam Chairman.
Yeah, sorry.
You know.
He's a good fella.
Yeah, well, you know, don't accuse me of stealing. Look at the others.
Okay.
I hope they do look at those five others.
It's not wrong if everybody else is doing it.
I hope those five others that took those free meals, I hope they are exposed, and I hope their votes are taken away from them.
I love watching this because we don't need to go very far. I'm telling you, we may have... I don't even believe we disagree. We're on the same line of thinking. We have our examples to say... These things will fail and they're misguided, what they're talking now and moving forward. Even if they took 1,000 troops out, the legislators should be hammering home, well, it's going to lose something. Our economy is going to be impacted. We need something, compensation from you.
Exactly.
Yeah, but we don't...
and they won't even entertain a debate. It's the same thing with what Mayor Caldwell has done with using our taxpayer money to help support the Chamber of Commerce in their campaign to save Hawaii's heroes. How dare he do such a thing without our permission?
And did you follow my line of emails with the Ethics Commission?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. The unethical commission.
Right.
Yeah, it's blatant.
Because, you know, when the Ethics Commission is sitting there and then you've got Romy Cacciola introducing bills, legislation regarding this matter, the Ethics Commission, you're asking them, can we just be heard?
Right.
And they're saying, right. It's unethical to have you.
Well, I would like to say something about our legislators, our four key ones.
Now, when you say the four key ones...
We're talking Tulsi Gabbard and Mark Dekai.
Okay.
Those two won't listen to... They will not entertain any time with us for the Oahu Council of Army downsizing.
Mm-hmm.
We asked formally in writing with Tulsi, and she formally responded to us, I have no interest in listening to your side of the story. My decision's made. My constituents are for... the Army staying on Oahu. She refused to. She used her 8 years of reserve experience to make that decision, I guess. And then Mark Dekai, he's so in the
pocket,
the tank on this one. It's not negotiable. But at least Brian Schatz's office gave us a chance to speak, and they listened and were open-minded. Mm-hmm. Maisie's gave us a chance.
Did his wife resign from the job that might be conflicted?
No,
I'm just asking.
I understand that's an issue.
Not an issue. It is part of the fabric.
Right. And Maisie's folks were listened, but, you know, were noncommittal. But in defense of Forest City and Island Palms, not that I would normally be in defense of them. I mean, they're making a killing off those houses they're managing. Whether the Army's in those houses occupying them and paying rent, or whether they're local people that deserve to be there as well and pay more affordable rents, I still advocate that there be an agency like Forest City or Island Palms, an agency like them, not necessarily them, maintaining those that housing. So someone will still retain that, could still retain those contracts.
Yeah, I say amen to all of that, but then that means nothing, because if they're already in place, if a coulda, woulda, shoulda, you know, if we're looking at illogical behavior on the part of our legislators and all, I can't believe we can fragment and be and surgically remove certain aspects of this and say, well, that won't matter. And until we have a clean slate and say that, take all things into consideration, if we downsize, the opportunity is going to be afforded where, as you pointed out last visit, there's an infrastructure here that's already in place.
Beautiful infrastructure.
And imagine they assemble airplanes or jets in the war on the ground over there at one portion of that, right?
No comment.
Well, I mean, it's all public. I mean, it's public. But again, and you got CTAMs, you got a potential. And we're not talking about that because one of the reasons we don't talk about that, and I know this to be factual, you don't want the word out on the street of all the opportunities, because the more opportunities that are announced, the more people come to look to benefit from those opportunities. But if you don't speak them, then you get selective people, groups and companies and Hunt and venture
special
capital.
Special interests.
And, you know, and Forest City. See, that's the danger of being mute. See, I hit the mute button on...
Well, that's why we're not given an opportunity to present our side of the issue.
Yeah, and we don't have to go across the ravine and figure this out. You, I mean, who in their right mind would deny you as part of a community? You're a retired United States Army colonel.
Yeah.
27 years, yeah.
And I don't want to hear what you got to say.
27 years.
You got nothing to say. I mean, it's basically, and then you got legislators going, well, you know, we want to make sure that Wendy stays open 24/7, and we get that high rent for the real estate.
And right. Here's the point, you know, that is imperative to be heard. It speaks of the state of affairs when the will of the people are not being listened to and are being ignored. Whatever happened to an open democracy where both sides, both pro and con, have an opportunity to put their issues on the table so that the public can make an informed decision on what's best for them?
Well, we'll...
What's happened to our open democracy?
We'll discuss that on another show of how this open democracy escapes us all here, because this so-called open democracy is a select group of people, the Takais, when the Gabberts, right. and the people behind them want
certain
things.
You mean you got to pay to play?
Well, not just that. That the machine wants a certain outcome. The Chamber of Commerce and all of those people, and they frown on the Republicans and anybody else. These opportunities escape us. Why? If they have, I meant to ask you last time. Has any of the legislators reached out for you, Colonel? And just, I mean, and honestly, now, I don't mean just to reach out and say, you know, let's come in and let us pick your brain, and we want to make some decisions on this stuff, or can we just have a casual conversation?
Unfortunately, no.
But why? I mean,
the same reasons that I
didn't say PFC Al Franzel. I said current retired Army, 28 years, 27-year colonel.
Right. Who taught at War College.
I mean, you would think someone will say, look, Al, let's have a drink, you know,
with credibility, yeah. An insider.
Something.
I just can't explain it. I do notice that a lot of people I run into over the last 6 months on this campaign will have this ingrained notion, almost a brainwashed opinion that the pat response is, oh no, we can't do without the military here. It's our number two economy. Oh, you're crazy.
Mm-hmm. Al is considered a heretic.
But then you go into the numbers on the Army alone, and it's when it's only 1.3 billion of the 14.7 billion, then you see that the Army is a small player here. It's a small player in money. But it's a big player in personnel. This is an opportunity to have 5.1% of the population of Oahu virtually disappear. And oh, by the way, this 5.1% of the population who who requires all the government services that you and I do, don't pay for those services.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Yeah, just one question, and that is I'm trying to figure out how come the Chamber of Commerce has become a military entity, because that isn't its purpose, is it?
I don't know what their purpose is. All I've ever known, the endorsement of bad businesses.
Well, they're supporting they're supporting the businesses that there are a few businesses that do extremely well off the military, and that's Mattson is on the top of the list. The airlines are right behind some of the restaurant industry, but that's where you basically, as far as I can go, there aren't, and the housing industry, but the housing industry is made up of so many fractions of people that you just can't point your finger at one person. But just imagine the kind of monies that Mattson pulls in for shipping all the household goods and all the privately owned vehicles and all the military equipment back and forth.
And that's why, you know, Mayor Caldwell's feet should be held to the fire. What was he thinking when he allowed funds, taxpayer funds, to be used to support the Chamber of Commerce's committee to support Hawaii's heroes? What was he thinking?
Yeah, just everything with the Chamber of Commerce seems to be military, and that's why I can see what they're after from the Chamber of Commerce, but I didn't think that it was supposed to be a military-run organization, so I just wondered, everything that's pro-military comes from the Chamber of Commerce, I think.
Yep.
Okay, that's all.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining in. Thanks for calling. 524-1080, my guest is retired Army Colonel.
Al
Franzel and Mr. Jack DeFeo, we're talking about the military downsizing and expressing all of our concerns and observations. 524-1080.
The Chamber of Commerce has had a really full court press the last month on this. From looking at the number of newspaper ads, I even saw they're having TV spots now, and just their outreach. I suspect, and their website is phenomenal, very well done. They must be at about $250,000 invested on this campaign in the last couple months.
And where does the money come from?
Us.
Yeah. Got a couple. Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Thanks, Carol. I'll just finish off. When you understand Star Shatter and Space Interceptor, you'll see the Navy, the Marines, and the Peace Corps are needed, and the Air Force would be the logistics for carrying things. That's pretty much it.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question. Hello? Once. Try call back if you like. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I saw you on television about the dumping. Oh, my gosh. Well, anyway, get a lot of dumpings, but I could tell you. But anyway, I just wanted to, because I found your guess interesting, but I was in and out. I had something, to do. And are they for or against the military, right? Downsizing?
We are definitely 100% for Army downsizing on Oahu by 19,800.
Why? Because you're military, right?
Ex-military.
Oh, ex-military.
Retired.
Okay.
Isn't it scary if you guys downsize? I mean, you know, we're going to be vulnerable to attack. You know, people would just want to invade us.
Okay, so let me address that real quick. First of all, the Army has to downsize by 100,000. And if FY16 sequestration kicks in as planned, they have to downsize by 130,000. That's a given.
Now, that's a mandate from
Congress.
From Department
so
of Defense and Congress.
This isn't just an arbitrary number or an action.
No, that's a must.
I think it must be stated that it's...
Sorry, so that's non-negotiable, and there's 19 states identified to lose these cuts. So what I'm advocating is, of the 19 states identified, you pick the one, which is us, where the Army can't train, where the Army can't afford, and where the Army can't deploy. Now, the Army is not on Oahu to defend Oahu from foreign attack.
Invaders, yeah.
No, they're not here for that. They're here to defend the nation's interest, which is overseas. There is no credible threat of an invasion or attack on Oahu and none foreseen. That's not why they are here.
But if there was, We have the Marines, the Navy, and the Air Force.
But with the new revelations and the new information that
Concerned about that too. Yeah.
Well, the Army is here.
About the Army then.
Yes.
Okay. Just very informative because, you know, like just regular people like us, you know, AM radio and when like Carol Cox and you folks are guests, you know, it gives us food for thought. You know, I mean, we all take sides, but at least I'm open to hear what you got to say because that's how we learn, yeah?
Yes. Keep listening.
Yeah. Okay. No, thank you, Carol.
I appreciate
Bye.
It. And I appreciate it, her point. And, you know, I'm not anti-Air Force. I'm not anti-Navy or anti-Marine on the island of Oahu. Those forces are strategic and have a better role in a maritime theater as the Asia-Pacific theater.
And they're ready at a given moment to defend.
Not to sound like a cynic, but based on what I've been reading and what's been advanced by the mayor and the Save Our Heroes and all of that, I believe it is clear now that pork is, you know, like fat, rises to the top. And I think what we're seeing is the true revelations are none of this was a reality. And the presence, as we see the military and the building and the houses, was an infusion into the economy, the state economy. I don't believe our legislators and our leaders ever believed that it was some critical role in the strategic planning. Hawaii station of strikers and all of that. I think it was pork at its best. And now pork, like anything else, get rank. And I believe that Al, a colonel, we wouldn't have this discussion if Danny Noy, Senator Danny Noy, was alive today. You'd have, you remember how the soldiers clicked those boots and... Tin Chun, get it done.
Absolutely. And because he wasn't here, I had hoped that the local Army command would be a little bit more honest than they are right now. Mm-hmm. But I look at that and I say, well, the local Army command, I'm talking United States Army Pacific at Shafter, they have to defend the Rice Bowl. That's General Vincent Brooks' job, to defend his Rice Bowl, even though I hope he doesn't really believe what he's spewing out there. But Big Army, which is the Army and District of Columbia, they're going to take a more pragmatic national view.
Well, General Brooks is the same one that told us the grand tale of Jessica Lynch, right? The young lady that was
right.
a hero.
The supposed hero.
General Brooks is the same.
Exactly.
I admire him, but again, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to come back in the next hour. Jack DeFeo, retired Army Colonel Al Franzel, and this is the Carol Cox Show, and we'll be back, and we're talking downsizing. Call in, chime in, 524-1080. We're talking Star Wars Curtis, we want to...
Governor Ige.
Yeah, we want to talk about all of this because it is related, and I believe as time comes out, there's some paranoid people right now because they stand to see that this game, I don't think they anticipated losing this number of troops with the taxes and all, because that's going to be a big chunk coming out of the... But we'll be back in shortly.
for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K1. Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
And good morning again. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. My guest is retired Army Colonel Al Franzel and Mr. Jack DeFeo, and we're discussing the downsizing, or the proposed downsizing, we should say, it's being contemplated, of military here in the state of Hawaii. The Army, I wish, back up, not just the military, the United States Army.
Just the Army.
Yeah, just the Army. And if it all works out and everybody get paid, well, I guess they'll take some of the Marines and the Navy. No.
Well, the mission, the mission of the Defense Department changed drastically this year in the Quadrennial Defense Review for 2014. Mm-hmm. That's a strategy document. And because of budget cuts and the mission change, the Army is paying the lion's share of the cuts. Mm-hmm. The other service cuts are small. Unless sequestration kicks in, then the Air Force is on the hook. If sequestration kicks in, to lose 80 aircraft, and the Navy's on the hook to lose one carrier. Mm-hmm. But other than that, the other services have been ignored or kept whole.
Is there a formal document that has been submitted to our legislators, the ones that are running out there with the Save Our Heroes and all of that, going from zero to heroes? Now, has there been a document produced to the formal proposal, or has it just been talked about and tidbits, pieces thrown out there? What is the actual proposed?
The execution document is the Quadrennial Defense Review, and you'll actually hear some of them quote from it, but they quote the pieces they like to quote from. But whether they've all seen it, I'm not sure. I'm sure they haven't.
Do you have a link to that?
Yes, and it's on my website.
What is your website?
OC4AD.com.
OC4AD.com.
That's a number 4.
Okay.
And if you go to the right side of the page, you'll see where it says QDR 2014.
And they can gain from on their own. Decide, read it themselves, what is actually being proposed.
And it's not that difficult to read.
Okay.
And they'll see what the change was in the national military strategy.
And so the box that says no tanks and then there's no thanks.
Okay. It's a little harder to read than that, but no.
All the information that's kept from the public is on that website.
Okay.
They want to be informed.
So go to website OC4AD.com. And
while we're talking about that website, at the top of the website is the information of the dates and times, and even a strip map that you can print out of where and when and how to get to the Army's listening sessions next week, coming up this Tuesday and Wednesday.
Well, unfortunately, I had imagined by this time there'd be a gaggle of people following you.
Well, I think there are, but not big enough.
No. I mean a real gaggle where they...
We had thought that's what would happen.
Because only half-truths and half-statements are being made from the legislative process. They're not making anything available, and they have offered no alternative. They've offered no second plans. What if this thing went through? Where are we left then? What do we do? Because we don't even know if they... You don't just walk away from a military base. There are things you have to do. It's a formerly used defense site, and you have to render that site. And unfortunately, I would hate to think that we would end up in a predicament like we were in Bellows, where it was a closed site, but there were hazards and munitions and unexploded ordnances that were left there in the ground. And so there's a lot of things that I don't hear our legislators and the Marcus Oshiros and the Itos and any of them speaking about. So I believe they're derelicting their duties as legislators to be reasonable in their approach to this thing. Mm-hmm. Instead, they're trying to beat you to the
point. Well, dereliction of duty is mild compared to what they're really about.
Right. Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Well, hi, Carol. Can you have your panel talk about the how wonderful it is for all that affordable housing that is about Schofield, which is relatively new and can be used for our desperate, one of our most desperate problems here in
Ohio. Great point.
Yeah. How that all that housing can be, I mean, that would pretty much almost make up for all the the lack of commerce from the Army, you know.
You want us to speak to real affordable housing and the opportunity provided by the Army downsizing? Al can speak to that really well.
Yeah, we're talking about $4 billion worth of housing resources in these two facilities. And 38,000 family members, military members, currently live there. So imagine if we had the space overnight, virtually overnight, for 38,000 local people to live, and then barrack space available for our homeless in transition or single people that could live in an apartment at low income. And so we have that part of the equation. And then of the soldiers that live off base right now that are either renting or purchasing a home, they're paying way over market value because they can afford to, because they have an allowance, a housing allowance that allows them, the subsidy that helps drive up the rentals in the local community. So imagine if that disappears and the inventory appears, we have like a twofold impact on our housing problem. It's a good question.
Yeah.
And Roman Cocholo is really nervous because he won't get the envelope. So it's looking bad, man. I'm telling you guys, this is... This didn't bid well for this guy.
They know how their bread is buttered,
and
it's unfortunate.
I mean, I'm sorry. It sounds like I'm really foul-mouthed about it, right? I am, because enough is enough.
The truth cuts both ways,
Well,
Carl.
Enough is enough. I mean, it's like to have someone stealing from us and lying to us and representing us and then turn around and be still in the whole system.
But here's the bottom line. If we don't hold them accountable, they just keep doing it and doing it and doing it.
But housing is just the obvious piece, the obvious beneficial piece. There's all those industrial facilities up there, the airfield alone with tower operations, all the hangars, two cities with total infrastructure and brand new accoutrements that worth in almost $100 billion, and
gold mine.
And for my Leeward Coast friends, a second access road over Coley Pass that we wouldn't even have to pay for.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's a golden opportunity. Just
good morning, Carla. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Thank you for taking my call. In San Francisco, you have the Presidio, and it is along the north shore of San Francisco Peninsula. So for those who aren't familiar, you can see the Golden Gate Bridge from the shore, Ghirardelli Square, Fisherman's Wharf. But the Presidio is a wide, wide expanse of land. There's a golf course there, the eucalyptus trees, pine trees, many meadows. And it was eliminated, stopped by the federal government. But, and here's where the...
There's, unfortunately, she got cut off.
We lost him. Call back if you'd like to call.
I hope she was headed on the discussion, and if she connects back, is a perfect example of a base closure that helped benefit the community. Mm-hmm. And then south of that, in the Carmel district, expensive district of Carmel, Monterey, Seaside, etc., was Fort Ord, California, which also closed in the 90s. With huge benefits to the local people.
And it's thriving today.
Although I did see an article last week that claimed from one fellow in a Fort Ord that they lose money from the Army's disappearance. But I think this is, again, one of the naysayers from back in the day that thought this would never be successful, and that we being Fort Ord community, and just like the Waiheawa community, are all going to suffer these disasters. Well, they didn't suffer the disasters. And, you know, even 40 years from now, when we benefit from this, we'll have some naysayers that maybe ran the chicken rotisserie shop or the girly bar that say, well, see, this never should have happened. I told you this wouldn't work.
Well, you know, one of the things before I forget it again, I remember when the first bit of information started to come out that soldiers were returning home and killing themselves and PTSD and all of that, and on these bases locally here. And I remember contacting a number of people, even people associated with businesses, and tried to get them to tell me and help me gain that information, gain access. And everyone denied it. Where were they at when those heroes were dying and killing themselves? Yeah. I didn't see. And then finally, after a couple of years, they start to admit that men and women were coming home and returning home and killing themselves and what have you.
It's an epidemic nationwide.
What happened to that heroic concern? The same heroes.
Right, exactly.
So I question the Chamber of Commerce's whole process and thought process in this, and I question Mayor Caldwell. I mean, just all you got to do is look at anything, yeah, and you'll end up with nothing but questions for his behavior lately.
Yeah.
So
it definitely raises red flags. Yeah.
Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Thank you. I got cut off, and I was wondering if...
Welcome back.
If your panel supports what happened to the Presidio of San Francisco. I'm familiar with John and Philip Burton and how their legislation saved the Presidio of San Francisco from commercial disaster. And I want to be sure do you support the way in which San Francisco dealt with the Presidio?
I don't know the mechanics of how they dealt with it. I just know the outcome, and the outcome was positive.
Oh, good, good. That's all I wanted to hear, because I'm from San Francisco, played in the Presidio often, very often, meadows, eucalyptus trees, pine trees, beautiful view.
Is this Noah?
No, this is Richard.
No,
And then you want me to talk about Nestor Garcia and the committee?
That's where another.
No, I mean, when you talked about meadows and in San Francisco, that was when the boat floated, Noah.
you rascals. And you all go for 4 hours without taking a breath. No, no.
We could if you want to.
You don't know what started now.
Yeah.
I just remember it so vividly. I remember playing in the rain in one of the meadows, and the person we knew, family, had a house with the backyard that was adjacent to the Presidio. We'd play in the rain and then go into the house and wash, and then we'd play games inside the house. I was about 8-10 years old.
Colonel, would it be safe to, for me, if I were to ask to describe you, would it be safe to say you just want the best, whatever decision is made,
You want the best, and you want thinking to be put forward first rather than have the momentum carrying you.
Is that too generic? For the common good of the people.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Well, I think that's my point, is I want what's right for the Army.
Yes.
And I want what's right for U.S. taxpayers, and I want what's right for the state of Hawaii taxpayers
across the board.
Yes, I agree 100% with you, and I enjoy the program. I take notes. I get information from Mr. Cox, from you, from his, and I just thank you very much for everything.
Well, thank you, and aloha.
Bye, aloha.
Thanks, Richard.
If I may address a concern of a prior caller, and this gets back to the response from the Star Advertiser's coverage of the Army cuts seen as devastating. Someone local responded to the article beautifully, and he states, "The Pacific Theater is a maritime theater that is better served by Navy, Marine Expeditionary Forces, and the U.S. Air Force. The Army has no organic lift resources and cannot perform expeditionary or forced entry operations in the Pacific. The Pacific has expeditionary forced entry ground forces in the Marines. The Army should not pretend to be able to perform this mission. The nation cannot afford to have multiple forces claiming to do the same mission, with one fully capable and the other only pretending. There are places in the Pacific that makes sense for Army basing, but Oahu is not one of them. When deliberate follow-on forces are required to provide security in the Pacific, the Army can provide this capability from anywhere in the world as quick, or in most cases quicker, than deploying isolated, untrained forces from the island of Oahu. For the benefit of U.S. taxpayers, please stop basing Army personnel in the most expensive, isolated location in the nation."
So
I couldn't have said it better myself.
We are a bit of an impatient bunch, I think, in this state. Our legislators are, because I know that the Navy is at Ford Island. I know that Schofield Barracks is Army. They built a massive facility there at Ford Island to house NOAA. Couldn't that money have been saved? And I know that some of the functions that they have going on at Ford Island is unique to Ford Island and the access to water. But could some of that activity have been housed if they'd have known, if our leaders were forward-looking, they'd been informed or would have seen this coming down the pipe? So that's what's problematic with me in this. I see just a debate, and it's not even a logical debate. They're not advancing any good arguments. It's about some of the most mundane of things, but they won't speak to the rail. How I think that's their greatest fear. I think they're worried about the money for the real estate industry, in the sense that the people that are now renting are going to be impacted.
You're suggesting that NOAA could have occupied a facility up in central Oahu.
A portion of it.
Yeah, but the problem with that, in their logic, is then there wouldn't have been new construction needed.
Well, I'm saying, and that speaks to the port.
Exactly. We wouldn't have had all these contractor jobs, union jobs, and we wouldn't have wasted all these taxpayer money.
But here is one thing I think we got to be, our leaders, local leaders here have failed to incorporate this, and I think this is, you have a new Congress, you have a new Senate, and it's about tax dollars, and everybody's fighting for them, and they're talking about cutting. That in itself presents a problem for the local guys that's sitting here arguing with you, Al, because the reality is when there's a need to save dollars or the taxpayers on the mainland, they're going to see that Hawaii get cut and bleed as well like anyone else, right?
Well, take a look at it this way. 18 other states are in competition with Hawaii.
Right.
And these other 18 states, the bases on these lists are huge politically. Mm-hmm. We're talking Fort Hood, Texas. We're talking Colorado Springs. We're talking Fort Lewis, Washington, and throughout. The Army didn't pick any easy bases to choose. Even Fort Bragg is on the cut list.
Yeah.
I call up Fort Bragg and I talk to their public affairs and I say, what are you doing about any Save the Heroes campaign like there? And they say, oh, we're not going to be cut.
Well, we in the South, we say, you're going to let your alligator mouth overburden your hummingbird butt, because that's what you're up against, some big demands and people bidding for this money. And our leaders, our local leaders, I read their articles and I think, oh, they told Al that time. They put Al in his place. And it's like, wait until you meet the big guys over there, the taxpayers,
so
the new Republicans.
And so when they meet with their colleagues,
right,
okay, all these four Democrats, and they try to negotiate to protect their rice bowl in Hawaii, what do they have to trade? And what... And are they part of the majority?
Pineapple.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe a box is three pineapples.
Some chocolate-covered shortbread cookies.
And here's what I would like to remind the public, that with our involvement in Iraq and Afghanistan, we've been at this for, what, close to 14 years?
Mm-hmm.
during that, excuse me, during that 14-year time period, all of the money that went to support those two campaigns, mm-hmm, Iraq and Afghanistan, mm-hmm, has been on borrowed money.
Right.
Hello? On borrowed money. Eventually, when you borrow that kind of money, the bill is due. So how is it going to be paid for? Unfunded.
So here, I hope you can join in.
One more thing. That's $14 million a minute.
Yeah.
When you look at the numbers, $14 million a minute has been spent fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan. That's a lot of money.
There are certain ways you can tell BS, and by smell, or you find the bull. Okay, well, in this case, let's go back here. They say, well, let's keep the military here, right? And it will serve when deployment. We can airlift them, and they can respond. But when we deploy to Iraq, what was the biggest complaint that the people in Wahiwa and others were complaining about? The town is drying up because all the deployment is gone. So they're asking, in one hand, give me a knife to cut my wrist.
Well, more importantly, Carol, where was the 25th in the deployment schedule?
Yeah.
They were at the end.
At the end. Very telling.
And how long did it take? About a year. Okay, so when the Army goes back with their calculus to decide who should go and who should stay,
mm-hmm,
I believe they're going to look at the war plans. And they're going to see where these units fall in the war plans. Are they an early deployer or are they a late deployer? And I haven't looked at war plans in a long time. I've been retired for 13 years, and I'm not going to give anything away classified. But nevertheless, the Defense Department's going to look at where these units deploy in the war plan, and they are not going to cut units that are on the front end. Mm-hmm. Who's on the front end? Units that can deploy quickly. I will tell you that Schofield never deployed quickly, even there in Vietnam, definitely not during the Gulf War. I mean, history says they're not a fast deployer. So who are you going to cut first, a frontline deploying unit or one that comes on later?
Am I being unreasonable to mention that they're saying, well, look, keep them here.
Well,
and then they can be deployed from here. And then 6 months later, after they've deployed, we need money. The military has been deployed. It's as if they're saying, can you give us this cash cow and just leave it in the pasture, and we'll come and milk it whenever we wish to.
And we want
to
milk it
to
constantly.
And to hell with the national security and the national strategy. I mean, where...
And it's indefinite.
This is what the kind of mindset and thinking you get when you got guys like Romney Cocciola sitting there looking for an envelope.
Whatever happened to fiscal responsibility?
Whatever happened to honesty?
So the couple people representing the businesses inappropriately in Wahiwa,
mm-hmm,
will say, oh, we can't survive their departure because we haven't in the past. They haven't ever said the two things. One is, wouldn't it be nice to have a local population live in the same area as these soldiers, and they would give us business round the clock and become permanent members of the community. And, oh, by the way, I never hear them complain that they've got to bypass a road around their city that takes traffic that I, First of all, Waihua has a huge amount of traffic to flow through. I would love to have that traffic flowing by my business.
Mm-hmm.
If they can't survive off the traffic, the tourist traffic going to the North Shore and commuters, I don't understand what their problem is. But then why don't they complain about the traffic that bypasses their road? Frankly, I know why, because the city can't handle any more traffic. But
What is that the term when a unit uses a term to describe itself or a sentence, strike lightning or
a strike force or
to describe themselves as a unit of quick lightning, quick as
Blitzkrieg?
No. I mean, they give them each unit gives them the 25th or
Lightning Brigade.
Well, they're Tropic Lightning. And
yeah, Tropic Lightning. Okay. Well, you know what you're going to see on the if they retain here in Schofield, their patch is going to say a slow boat to China.
That's historically been the case.
That's where it's at.
Yeah, my patch is going to read slow boat to China. That's my unit.
It wasn't since the 70s that we had forces at Schofield that were on 24-hour notice.
Right.
And even that wasn't realistic, but that was for small units that could deploy by air. But as far as it, and even it, since the 70s, it's never been a fast-deploying unit.
Yeah. Thank you, Carlos. Go ahead with your comment or question.
What account do you have for the Hawaii National Guard, Active Guard, Reserve units here stationed on this island and other islands here? What type of effect would that have on the those who are employed here in that guard, Active Guard, out of Barbers Point and the Wheelers and so forth?
I understand. Good question. The cuts that we're talking now are active duty cuts. The mandate in the Quadrennial Defense Review for National Guard and U.S. Army Reserve Forces was very small, very incremental, with no effect on the Hawaiian Army National Guard. So there's no projected cuts, there's no demanded cuts. I don't anticipate any cuts. I could justify the need not to have them here, but they're part of the pork equation too. It would be nice, instead of having the 29th separate infantry brigade here, to have engineer forces and other army forces that could go throughout the Pacific and do humanitarian operations. But to have a combat unit here doesn't achieve much purpose other than the pork piece.
Well, you're speaking of this, that last one, their statement said that the army that deploys, I forgot, what did you just say? Could you repeat that last portion there? You said something about the combat units? You said combat units, correct?
Right, well, the 29th...
Speaking of the active army, regular
correct.
Army, correct, the combat.
Well, on the active army, it's... it's not specific to combat units, but it speaks to their combat power. But the 19,800 identified for Oahu is in essence, it's the 25th Infantry Division, the two brigades there, and assigned support forces. Not all of them, because if they tagged all of them, I submit there should be cuts of about 22,000 on Oahu. But they've also gone for some command and control and support soldiers from Fort Shafter. That's the 3,800 piece.
Okay, so you made the statement, no projective, you don't anticipate cuts in the active Army Reserve and reserve units here, but that's a possibility, correct? The reason why I'm bringing this up, because a lot of that I know of personally, of those that I'm speaking in that statement there are local Hawaii state residents who purposely enlisted in the active reserve or the Hawaii National Guard or the reserve unit just to stay right here locally here in Hawaii and not be projective of actually going over into the conflict, but there are have been some that I know of personally that have already gone into combat disregarding that just because you're in the Hawaii National Guard or the reserve, you do go to Afghanistan, being his own Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard. So that's a possibility that it could be cut correct.
According to the Quadrennial Defense Review, which outlines the strategy and the budgetary guidance for the services, the Army National Guard and the U.S. Army Reserve are only projected for minor cuts, nothing compared to the active duty forces. So the Hawaii Army National Guard is not projected to lose anything. And I can't speak to the Army Reserve because I didn't think they were, but someone contacted me from the 100th Battalion and said that they have, even before this announcement, been projected to deactivate. And I saw nothing to that. I'm not Akamai to the 100th Battalion. Someone could surely call in about their status. But nevertheless, this downsizing we're talking now is only active duty. So the people that are residents of Hawaii would stay here. They'd still serve. There's still potential to deploy. Just because they're stationed on Oahu doesn't mean they're not part of the Army equation for the defense of the nation. And when needed, as they have in the past, as you cited, like Tulsi and others have been deployed, there's nothing to prevent Army National Guard or Reserve forces from being activated and deployed. They're at the disposal of the Department of the Army.
Yes. One other reason why, besides Tulsi, I got personal family that are also in the Hawaii National Guard active unit, and I want them to be alerted, you know, not to be naive about the cuts that are going to be effective with the regular Army. That, just like you just said, it's not projected, but that could be a possibility that if they don't cut deep enough, you know, that's on the table, you know. So I just want them to be alerted, be aware of that could possibility that it happened, because they have mortgages, they have family here, you know, and that's one reason why a lot of them enlisted in the Reserve and Active National Guard is to stay permanent, more or less based here and not to be deployed. But then again, she has been deployed before, so I just want her to be alerted that it's a possibility that that could be, as you just stated, it's not projective, but it's a possibility, I hear you saying. So,
all right,
true?
Well, thank you. Thank you, caller. What, did you have a question real quick? And what was that you said, if that was true or something?
Yes, sir. That's what I was asking. What was my statement? Is that true? Correct. It's a possibility because he said projected.
Well, obviously anything's a possibility, but no, I don't think it is not projected for the Hawaii Army National Guard.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it is. Okay. It, and I'll rephrase, it is not projected. And the Army, if it had the intent to do that, would definitely announce it in this iteration, because it would want to get its turmoil and stress out all at the same time. It wouldn't want to, you know, piecemeal people by 100 pinpricks.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. So, very complex, but I believe there's a simple solution here. There needs to be more dialogue. But in speaking of dialogue, why should we trust, now, the HERO campaign, Save Our Heroes campaign, the same people now that have put for the Russian forced it down our throat, the rail, and we see now that same group of people that we trusted and listened to and were cajoled and badgered and compelled to accept the rail, are back now assuring us that the military angle of this is we can trust what they say. When in fact, you know, that takes a lot of guts to approach the public. This mayor, I mean, I don't mean to be condescending or foul-mouthed about him, but in reality, if I was raising him as a child, I would say, you need to get something straight here, pal. You can't double-speak. on one hand, you want us to look at you as being this great reasoner and thinker and trust your decisions. And yet, at the same time, you got the other hand saying, give me more money. I know we assured you that this project was going to deliver, and yet we can't. We now need to beg more money. This is why the listeners out there should, in fact, get past the reading the articles in the paper and get involved, because ultimately it's going to cost the taxpayer locally here one way or the other.
And then they wonder why Hawaii has got some of the lowest voter turnout in the nation.
So you're asking if to apply a little critical thinking, that if your politician is lying to you on issue A...
I didn't say that. Why wouldn't he elsewhere?
Why wouldn't he be lying on issue B? Well, frankly, I'm thinking that Mayor Caldwell is going to be a one-time mayor. I think he's
catching a lot of heat.
And I think that's we're fortunate for that.
Before you go, can I see your glass ball?
No.
Or you just know that corruption is corruption and it never pays off eventually.
That's my point.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And
I,
it's systemic.
Okay. I understand. That's, yeah. But anyway, I hope that my point is that why should anybody trust, and then they won't speak out to say, well, you're not getting any more money for the rail. You promised us. You delivered us these promises. And you were big with your monies and giving your friends and Parsons and all contracts. And now you're back? And you want us to watch and join you with the Heroes Plan?
Yeah.
How about the Zero Plan?
Well, let me be a bit more blunt. Would you hire a child molester to run your daycare center? It's somewhat blunt.
Well,
because if you look at our the track record of our political leadership, it makes you wonder why they're there.
So let me
how did they get there?
Let me translate for the audience. What he meant was, if your mayor is wasting money on one project, do you think he's really being straight to you on this other army issue?
Well, let me add to that. And if you had a city councilman who was stealing from you and lying to you and get caught stealing and named Romney Controller, and then he goes and passes a bill, some legislation to support and prop up the mayor's lies, and would you trust that?
I don't. I hope the people wise up.
But you know, we
that's
can only sit
the
here.
Point I was trying to make.
We can only sit here and talk about it. But ultimately, it's the taxpayer and the listener out there who go, well, you know, that guy Al, he speaks very well. He says some interesting things. Let's get past that and understand there's some more complex things
behind
going
the
on
scenes.
Here.
Absolutely,
behind the scenes and the lies and it's not supporting you. It's looking out for their own good. Them being the taxpayer, because, hey, I mean, you can only get so much blood out of a turnip.
Right. If I may once again attempt to simplify what we're here today to do, is remind the public that Army downsizing is a win-win for the majority of residents here in Hawaii. Those who oppose downsizing are of the minority to gain at the taxpayer's expense what is an advantage to the citizens of Hawaii.
Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Thank you for taking my... I'm repeating myself, but Mayor Caldwell said that the elevated guideway with the steel wheel on steel rail could be placed behind trees and buildings so people would not see it. Thank you very much.
Out of sight, out of mind. Hey, we should have that mantra for him when it comes to the election. We couldn't vote for you because we couldn't see you for the tall trees.
Listen, I could talk about the rail forever. Follow this since 2006.
All righty.
And follow the money.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
That's me, it's the Holy Cow Hotel, please.
Go ahead with your comment or question, please.
When the meeting at the Holly Cove Hotel?
That meeting is on the 27th at 6:30 to 9 p.m. There's $5 to park in the parking structure all night. It's at the DeRussi room inside the hotel. Please arrive early so that you get your name on the testifier list.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yeah. Let your voices be heard. Please, please come.
Thank you.
Now, let me tell you how I would describe the mayor. this mayor and the other people involved propping him up. Take the King Street by, and I'm all for saving energy and environmental and what have you. But that green lane down there, the impact that it projected on, the negative impacts on the communities there, the condominiums, the businesses, the most illogical thing I've ever seen, and how it went into, and he was so aggressive. I guess he thinks that he's going to win election for governor because the people on bicycles are going to ride and vote for him. But, I mean, that the rail and everything, his policy, everything he's associated with is push it down your throat.
Yeah.
And then go and he used, he was involved in that PRP with assaulting and assailing Cayetano's character. And mm-hmm. Right?
Exactly.
And then now we're back here with the Heroes program using city resources.
And city personnel.
And to promote a private industry entity, interest.
Yeah. Under the disguise of community-wide benefit.
What, wait, is this the United States of America we're living in? Or are we, there's just something, I missed something. There was there a declaration made that democracy is not to be afforded by all?
That's where we're at. That's the unfortunate reality.
I'm being facetious here.
I know,
a bit, but,
I know.
But I mean, you got, that, to me, I just cringe when I think of one day, and I hope it's not me, since someone get hit on that green bike lane. I mean, it's much to do about nothing, and it presents more deadlier scenarios than we can calculate or account for.
Let me just say what, whenever the opportunity presents itself, and it's this. If you're not turned on by politics, politics will one day turn on you.
Well, turn you off.
Turn on you. And I think that's what we're seeing now.
Yeah.
Okay. And I had thought a long time ago that we had a representative form of government. The will of the people, we the people. An open democracy. And it is being constantly whittled away by special interests with deep pockets that no longer represent us. So I got to say to the public out there, get involved. You can't, on an individual basis, be part of the solution instead of standing by the sidelines and watching the parade leave.
Yeah.
Get involved. Participate in the solution.
Beyond reading the newspaper.
Exactly. Talk to your friends.
Call a good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question. Hello?
Missed that one? I did it. Hello?
Oh. Yeah, go ahead with your comment or question there. You.
Hello?
You got it.
This Hello?
Is, yeah, this is oh. run by Kurt Caldwell. You have to speak up and never be heard, man.
Oh, yeah.
We're on Caldwell time. You understand?
Yeah.
Well, you know what gets to me? Here's this guy that says compassionate disruption, he calls it. I would say it's quite appalling, this talking like that. And then he goes and steals from the laws of the law of the homeless folks. And one of the biggest problems here, and then he says, oh, by the way, we're going to the satellite city halls. You can make the petition. But they don't even know, they're not allowing the anti,
Yeah, we'll allow you, your organization.
No, it's no equal time.
You'd be arrested if we attempted to do the same thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, can you imagine that? And then in the meantime, we have such a huge problem with affordable housing here. And, you know, actually, he could become a hero if he said, hey, listen, you've got to get the military out of here so we can lower the price of housing and get people off the streets, you know?
Do you honestly believe that statement that you could make a hero out of Kurt Caldwell? Look. Did you get it from Colorado or Washington State?
Oh, yeah.
The train has left the station on that one.
That medical marijuana got you.
Yeah, what are you smoking, right? Well, you know, that guy, that mayor, you know, he is a slick talker, man.
Hey,
you can tell. This is a lawyer that knows how to
Oh, man. You know what? I was almost ready to tell him off and very loud.
Well, we don't want to do that. We just want to...
But I couldn't, he memorized it. I thought, everybody is talking about affordable housing and all that kind of stuff. I said, wow.
Well, let me just throw this in right quick and then let the other guys.
Yeah.
So we have this gentleman called Mayor Caldwell, who forces down us throat a bike path. And now I know some of the environment is going to say, but we got it. I don't care. There's something wrong with that big picture. Secondly, he was in hot pursuit of the homeless population here. Don't piss on the sidewalk. Don't sleep on the sidewalk. Don't sit on the sidewalk. You can't have one shopping cart. You can't do this. You can't do that. And now he has a Save Our Heroes campaign, which is a big lie and won't afford to incorporate the thoughts and concerns of other people, right? And now the rail, he was part of that debacle or that ruse to defraud the public. And then in turn, he's still standing.
Oh, and the housing first thing, too. What a huge lie. You don't know they've hardly gotten anybody. I mean, remember, the only ones, most of these people that they've gotten housing first, they're in shelters.
I ran out of ink on that one, so I couldn't listen more, but anyway, you get my gist. But let me entertain the other caller here, and thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comment. Go ahead with your comment or question. Well, anyway, if you're going to call in, be patient because these guys got important things to say. Go ahead.
The mayor, if he had taken a different tact on this issue, could have been a hero. Because imagine it, you know, he has city and county government services to pay for. He could have taken a population of 5.1% of his community that don't pay him any taxes and don't pay him any revenue to run the city, and he could have assisted in the process to have him leave the island.
Oh, gosh, man. What
the city and county...
if he was serving the interests of the public who
the expenses for city and county and state services is $549 million per year to maintain 5.1% of the population that doesn't pay state taxes and pays very little property taxes.
Oh, I forgot, in this Heroes program that he has, this is the same mayor that wanted to put the less fortunate, the homeless, in concentration camps on Sand Island in a toxic waste dump. Wow, man, this guy should be
compassionate
president.
Disruption. I'll never forget that.
Look.
I think the people have figured him out, and that's why I'm saying he's only got about 2 years left in office.
I hope you're right.
Yeah. Well,
I hope you're right because, but then
we
again,
can make that right.
But again, now, in order to pull this thing off, he has to be complimented by the Romy Cocholos and the David Iggeys, who's naming the developers to, let's not forget that. And I believe it has a direct relationship. I believe he wasn't just named. Carlton Ching wasn't just named. I believe it's part of the bigger plan here.
Yeah, that individual was sitting in the wings.
But they're following the game plan of Governor Abercrombie, and he got his butt handed to him, and I think these guys are going to get their butt handed to them
as well. I hope
so,
but 4 years of damage, we can't recall him.
Well, two more is with the mayor.
But maybe we are just a little premature, and maybe...
Maybe we're too old-fashioned to think the public servants are there to serve
and
us.
And maybe David will come back to Center Line and figure out that you don't name a realtor or developer for Castle and Cook who's before your agencies now, and you will be making decisions.
And not have the alarm bells go off.
Right. Well, you know, maybe he forgot that. Caller, go
that
ahead.
Some people
quick
are paying attention.
With your comment or question.
Yeah, I'd like to support rail hidden behind trees and billboards even. No doubt. Why are you as a need negating everything all the time? If it's not for information, what purpose would it serve if we don't move towards the rail?
What?
Yeah.
Well, Captain Ahab, I don't know what to tell you on that one. You lost.
Beat me aboard. I'm leaving.
I say, mate, I'm going to have you walk in the plank if you don't
mind.
There
you go. Kill homie, man. That's a good one.
That's it. Come clean.
No, I understand. It's thanks for the humor, man, because...
Is Larry Ellison available? We can kill all of me there.
Well, no, we need humor and to deal with half of this nonsense that we have. So thank you so very much. But
right, Phil. Thank
all
you.
Right, brother. Okay. Go ahead. You have any comment or questions?
Well, I hope the people show up to the listening sessions because the opposition that the Chamber of Commerce is motivating, they're going to show up. And I'm kind of sad. I've been sad during this whole process that the Hawaiian community has been real quiet on this because this is such a big opportunity for them.
Yeah.
Well, OHA told them, hold off. We got your back. Yeah. HCDDL, hold off. We got your back. And then there's DHHL, hold off. We got your back. And in the meantime,
we know
what happens is when the curtains are pulled back, the Hawaiian community is once again defrauded. And I can't speak for them, and I've learned my lesson well, because there are some, this reappointment of Joby Masagatane, I mean, that is the most insulting thing. I know there are many of you out there disagree, but the way she run that office and the way she cover up and ignores the violations and what have you, I'm sorry. I can give them the ideas, but I can't. I just can't engage anymore with ACDDL and all of that entire process. It's, I've said it before, it's nothing but a scheme to defraud the native people of what is rightfully theirs. And whatever that is, they have to define it. I can't.
Right. Well, the Army is making a huge change in their structure. And somewhere in the United States, 100,000 to 130,000 soldiers are going to be dismissed from the rolls over the next 4 years. We hope that it's in Oahu. Because, again, for the listeners, if you came on late, the reasons why is because the Army can't train properly on Oahu, and the Army can't deploy quickly from Oahu, and the Army pays a fortune, just like you and I do, to be on Oahu.
So this isn't the location.
This isn't the right place for them to be, and it hasn't been. And the only reason most of them are here right now is because Senator Inouye stationed them here. So, you know, please have your voice heard. Not only during these listening sessions, but in the spring, we're going to be pressuring our congressman to do the right thing.
Real quick, just for listeners out there, is there any organization paying you to advocate your stance on this?
Absolutely not.
No money, no bones, no flights, no golf game, no
funded by pure passion.
No envelopes. My opposition is funded by about $250,000. I'm fully funding everything I'm doing out of my own pocket. I'm probably maybe just a couple thousand out of my own pocket, but okay. Nobody is assisting.
And Jack, and there's you're just doing it for the lunch.
I'm doing it for the love of Hawaii.
And there's no
and
job.
The respect of the Army.
Yeah.
There's no jobs offered out there. I don't have any hidden agenda. This is just right for
It's about good governance, and right. It's about good decisions that's going right. to last long rather than go wrong. So thank you, and you can go to OC4, the number 4, AD.com for picking up any information from Colonel Al Franzel and Jack DeFail. Thank you, guys.
And Carol, thank you very much for having us on.
Thank you, Carol.
All right, thanks.
Hope to see you there, everybody.
All righty. Hey, I got a little tidbit I want to share with you. If you're into jazz, man, things are happening down there at the Lotus Club, but write this number down if you're interested. 342-8232. I heard some jazz last night. Tommy James, who's a former 10 years played with the Duke Ellington Orchestra. And you got to get down there, man. And call that number, 342-8232. And you can't beat it. And there's some trumpet going on. Valerie Ponomarev from Russia. Awesome. So, guys, thank you for joining me. And we'll see you next week. Aloha.
Some loving, baby, that I'll give to you. If you want some hugging, baby, oh, I can hug some too. All I want, baby, is some touch from you. Just a little bit of tension, yeah. Is gonna see me through. 'Cause you know you're my kind. And I want you to be mine. Idolize.